Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Christmas to you all. Christ is risen. Christ is born to this day, and we are very grateful. If you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. And to those listening in who are listening in to our recorded message off the website, a very happy Christmas to you as well. The Lord be with you. Would you like to just turn around and say good morning to the people around about you and just say hello, wave to them?
Hello.
All good?
Happy Christmas.
Great. I'm glad you're wearing your masks today. You can sing through your masks if you choose to do so, but don't take them off. The musos up the front will be able to use to sing and without our masks on during that time, and it's those who are leading the service. So welcome. This morning's service is one of the Lord's Supper together. It's if you love the Lord Jesus, you are welcome to partake and remember God's great love for us in Christ Jesus and the love we ought to have for one another. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican, and helping me in the service this morning, we have Sam on the keyboard, and we have Rosemary on guitar, and Lynn on singing as well. And Diane's going to read to us the Bible reading to us today. Today we're thinking about the reason for why God sent his Son into the world, and the reason for that being to save us. To save us from what? And that we might rejoice and be glad in him. But firstly, we have a little message from our Archbishop, Kanishka, and so I'm going to play that up on the screen for us now.
This is our second pandemic Christmas. We've learned a new vocabulary, words like social distancing, self-isolating, and now Omicron. What else have we learned? Lockdown certainly forced us to consider the essentials of life. Some of us even took up bread making. There's something basic about that. We humans have always broken bread to share and connect with each other. Jesus came into the world and told his disciples, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." Jesus is no mere man. He's the one whom God has sent into the world to be our life, the source of our life. I hope there'll be food to share on your Christmas table and people you love around it. We've missed that so much during lockdown. But don't miss the truth of Christmas. See who Jesus really is. He says to us this Christmas, "I am the bread of life. Come, believe and trust in me." May you have a safe and happy Christmas.
Well, the sentence of scripture that's set aside for today is, "Do not be afraid," said the angel to the shepherds. "I bring you good news that will be great, cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a saviour, a rescuer has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Well, let's say a psalm together to start with before we actually stand and sing together. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." Well, let's stand and sing our first hymn, our first carol, "O Come, All You Faithful."
Joyful.
Seated. Well, let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. It's always special to gather together as your people in obedience to your word. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you indeed with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, God calls us to live our lives to his glory. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Now, this is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we fail to honour him and to respond to his love for us. So recognising our guilt and trust in God's mercy and grace, let us at the beginning of this time together confess our sin together by saying these words. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to live for your honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son, Jesus. So deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Faithful God, you caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Enable us to read, note, learn and inwardly digest them, so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firmly onto the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Diane's going to bring the scriptures to us this morning now, and you can follow along on the screen, and it's from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Thanks, Diane.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you stand with me now and let's say what we believe together in the words of this ancient creed that unites all Christians throughout history. Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. You can follow along in the Bible reading inside your bulletin. I take it as there also. Good news. We need good news, don't we? The sentence of the scripture that I've set aside is from Luke chapter 2 there, verse 6. The time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. It's one of those memories a parent never forgets, or a relative of a niece or a nephew or a family member, the birth of a child, especially the mother. I can remember all three of our children born to my wife Rosemary, each very different and each very special. I can remember the day when we found out we were expecting each of them. There was the excitement, the wait that followed, the expectation. And I can remember when the time came for each to be born. Rosemary can too. The time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. The time came, records Luke, for the Christ to be born, and he was. Luke's gospel is concerned about his readers knowing the truth, knowing the certainty of the things that they have been taught by God through his word. A time came, writes Luke, for the Christ to be born, and he was. It's Christmas, and I don't know how it is with you, but Christmas seems to come on quicker and quicker each year, and this year all the more faster. And here we are again. It's the end of another year, and what a year it has been. It's unfortunate we have to wear masks, but we can still sing, praise God, and meet and remember. Thank you for gathering this morning. It could have been easy to stay in bed, but you came and churched. Thank you. Did you know that the first Christmas carol was the song of the angels at Bethlehem at the birth of Christ? We heard it read to us by Diane. "Do not be afraid," said the angels. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Christmas reminds us of the coming of our Saviour, the coming of our Rescuer, the birth of Christ. And we gather today, wherever we might be, here in church or at home listening in, to remember that and to say thank you, God. Indeed, Matthew in his gospel records that the name of the angel had told Joseph to give to God's child, God's son born to Mary, was to be Jesus. And the reason being is that his name means he would save his people from their sin. Christmas reminds us of the coming of a Saviour, a Rescuer, and Jesus is that Saviour. But why are we Christians thankful? Why is thankfulness the response Christmas evokes in us? And joy. A Saviour is only of any value if we are in a predicament from which we believe we need saving. Ask that of someone who's been drowning. And we are aware of the predicament as Christians from which Jesus has saved us. But if we aren't aware of being in a predicament, then we're not aware of any need to be saved. And so people may well ask, what's so important about the birth of Christ? Why be thankful at Christmas time? Why bother to pause, to meet as we have, to go to church or to listen in at this time when there are so many alternatives? Christmas reminds us of an event of history and no other kind of magnitude of its like. God coming amongst us in the birth of his son, Jesus. When angels appeared en masse and eyewitnesses went to great lengths to record the future generations, its certainty, like Luke, such an event of history this is. Some were even willing to die that we might know the truth of this. With that event of history came a message of salvation, of rescuing. And that message and the reason for our thankfulness is heard in the words of the angel, first to Joseph, then to the shepherds. To Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "You are to give him the name Jesus," Joseph. "You are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Sin is an unpopular topic, and most people switch off when this is mentioned. But sin has a lot to do with Christmas. In fact, sin is the reason for Christmas. Sin is our nature. It's our selfish attitude towards God, others, and ourselves. It's observed and proven in our behaviour, whether passive or active. It's that nature, if honest with ourselves, we know is self-protecting, self-preserving, and self-promoting, seeking what is of first importance to us, to me. That which motivates our thoughts, our values, our actions, whether for good or not, towards God, others, self. Sociologists would not give a theological reason, nor should it, nor use the word sin. But I gather, if honest, may simply agree that such is our raw nature, reflected in our attitude and behaviour. It's that nature that drives us to strive, survive, and thrive. And if honest, the cause of most, can I say, all of our problems. Be that as it may, through time and history, God has cried out in his word, and he's told people at every stage of history that this is our nature. He's told us of our sin. It separates us from him and all that is good and wise now and forever. And the reason why we cannot take of the tree of life and live forever here with each other is because of sin. We need to die. We read in God's word from Romans 3. No one is righteous, not even one. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, in Romans 6 we read, is death. And in Hebrews 9, all are destined to die once, then to face God's judgment. Without the intervention of God in providing a solution, we, if only for this life, have the privilege of God's presence and providence. But Jesus has saved people from their sins. God, in his mercy and love, has become one of us in his Son Jesus. Jesus has saved us. God, in his mercy, has intervened. God has provided a solution. And we are thankful. Thankful because he became one of us, born of Mary. But not to stay a babe, as so much people would long for him to stay, but to grow into manhood, take on himself our sin and its consequences, voluntarily and willingly, and provide the solution of forgiveness and reconciliation and life eternal beyond death with God and his people forever in his death on the cross and his resurrection. Romans 6 verse 23 we read, the wages of sin is death, yes. But we read on. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in 1 Peter 3, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. This is why we have an empty manger at the entrance to the hall, to the aisle here at our church this morning at Christmas. So for us to focus not on the babe, but on the babe who was sent to grow into a man and die on the cross and rise from the dead for the forgiveness of our sin for which he came. The essential message of Christmas is this: people are in a predicament from which we cannot save ourselves. If we could, God would not bother in sending Jesus into the world and becoming one of us. He just keeps saying to you, keep on doing good things. Maybe, just maybe, you might be good enough. If we think we can do it by ourselves, God would not bother to have become one of us. But God has become one of us in Jesus. And that attitude and that thought ought to take our breath away and take seriously and think deeply on. It's evident through history by the way we live. Just as darkness and light cannot occupy the same space in time, neither can God and unforgiven sinners. Something has to be done to change us. We ought to be afraid, as the shepherds rightly were, as sinners like ourselves, surrounded by the glory of God at that time. But a Saviour again, I say. A Saviour has come, and it's Jesus. And the message of the angel is this to us, and the reason for our thankfulness: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of that day. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of Bethlehem, a Saviour, a rescuer, a solution has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. We Christians are thankful because God has intervened and provided a solution. Friends, if this doesn't mean much to people, then plainly the message of Christmas has not been explained clearly to them. Or it has, if it has, then it's not been understood. Or it's not wanted to be heard. Christmas remains for such people a season of goodwill, family reunions, everyone getting on with each other, presents, Santa, the cricket, a yacht race, and parties. All of the above, don't get me wrong, can be ours too and enjoyed. But Christmas is much more to us than just that. And my prayer has been every day, and especially at Christmas, that people hear that and understand it. But I'm thankful that you have, and you've heard, and you understand, and you've come, and you're worshiping Christ the Lord. This is good news, great news for all the people. A time came for the Christ to be born, and in God's timing, he was. God, unlike us, always keeps his promises. We can be certain of that. Christmas leads us to reflect not on a myth or a legend, but on a historical event that demands our respect and given the time to take it and to think on it deeply. It demands our attention. On the reality of God taking us and our salvation seriously, coming to our rescue and becoming one of us as promised. It demands of us the certainty of our own mortality. It reminds us of such, and to live every day thankful and to think on the things of God. To know of the righteous judgment and yet of the benevolence of our God, his mercy, who acted in history to save us, grant us life eternal now and beyond the grave, and fill us with thankfulness joy and peace with God. No longer enemies. No wonder then that the Christmas message is one of good news. Good news for us and all people, because the message of the angels at Christmas is that Jesus is our Saviour, on which his favour rests. Sin forgiven. Friendship with God, now and for eternity. Peace and joy to those who, like the first shepherds and ourselves, have looked for this salvation, found it, and received it with thanksgiving. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Amen. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, it has always been your plan to become one of us in Christ, to save us and to grant us the certainty of that salvation and to receive it with joy. Grant us the grace to live accordingly with assurance that as sure as you came the first time to save, you will come a second to fulfill all things and bring us to yourself. We give you thanks this Christmas that everlasting thankfulness, joy, and peace are found through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight. You can hear God telling them, you know, wing your flight through all the earth, heralds of creation's story, proclaim the Messiah's birth. Let's stand and sing this carol together.
Christ, the newborn King, come. Well, please be seated. Rosemary is going to continue our time of prayer together. Thanks, Rosemary.
We're going to spend a few moments in prayer. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray that the love of Christ will be a light to the world. Will you join me in saying the prayer, set prayer for today? Father, we are filled with the new light by the coming of your word among us. May the light of faith shine in our words and actions. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We give you thanks for your worldwide church, Heavenly Father, for the faithfulness of your people in every land and the unity we share through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for Christians in other countries, especially where there is suffering, war, persecution, and danger. Father, we pray for those nations, especially our near neighbours like Indonesia, Fiji, and Papua New Guinea, where the coronavirus is running rampant and the distribution of aid is impeded by inadequate healthcare systems, corruption, and lack of resources. May wealthy nations like our own be generous in sharing with those who are poor, and may we be generous to others in need. We pray for our parish, and we pray for the parishes here in Australia and the church worldwide at this time. Lord, you said, I will build my church. We ask you, Lord, to fulfill your promise even in this COVID season. May our parishes and churches grow and be strengthened at this difficult time. We uphold before you the work of the Anglican Church in Australia, for this diocese, for Kanishka, our Archbishop, Michael, our regional bishop, this parish of Abbotsford Anglican, and our minister Trevor. We know more Australians are thinking about the meaning of life than was the case before COVID, and more are turning to prayer. Now that it is Christmas, Lord, we pray that you will help all people to find the living hope of the Lord Jesus at this time. We pray for our diocesan organisations, and we remember YouthWorks and Anglicare. For YouthWorks, we pray, as presently SRE in schools and Christian camps for schools and churches are unable to meet. Please, Lord, bring an easing in restrictions so that these important ministries can resume. For Anglicare, we thank you for the provision of gifts and food for needy families through Toys and Tucker, and that chaplains in hospitals, prisons and aged care are still working and can care for and support families, inmates, residents and staff, while family visits are still restricted. At this COVID time, may your love, care, hope and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be shared with all of those in need. We pray for those who have been sent out as your missionaries here and abroad, and we especially bring before you those who we supported this year in this parish, for the Blairs, the Thomases, the Rotondanos, and for Kim. We pray that you will strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that you will give wisdom to those in authority in every land and give to all peoples a desire for righteousness and peace, with the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good, and to serve with justice the resources of this earth. Heavenly Father, in an uncertain world, please turn the hearts of all people to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the peace that passes all understanding. And Father, we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we come before you with aching hearts. Father, we live in this beautiful world, but it is damaged by your sin, by our sin, and we need you. We know that throughout the world, the coronavirus and its variants are spreading so quickly and so far and so wide. We pray that you would contain this virus. Give your wisdom, energy, and perseverance to the testing and contact tracing teams and our leaders making decisions that have such a huge impact on community, especially over this holiday period. We pray for our leaders at this time. We pray for Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, Dominic Perrottet, our Premier, Health Minister Brad Hazzard, and the Chief Health Officers throughout this land. Please also protect our workers in essential services, our teachers, our police, those in aged care, doctors and nurses, paramedics and retail workers. And as the stress and anxiety increase, we pray that those who are fearful, those living in abusive relationships or with serious financial challenges, those who are lonely, isolated, sick, in pain, or are grieving, we ask that you will open the hearts and minds of all people to the true reason of Christmas, the giving of your Son Jesus to heal this broken world and provide peace and hope for all peoples by his death and resurrection, paying the penalty for our sins. By your presence, protection, and provision, please bring us your peace. Amen. Can you read the last one?
Yep, I'll read the last one. That's fine. Such undeserving grace. Shout for joy, the whole earth and everything within. Rejoice, you tell us, Heavenly Father, for your light has come into the world. Heavenly Father, grant that we may share with all our hearts in this profound mystery of Christmas. Put it in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, this peace for which they sometimes seek so desperately and which you alone can give to them. You gave your all to the world in the bleakness of the stable. Love was born that day, pure love, undiluted, poured out for all who call on your name. Such undeserving grace. As families and individuals, as we gather here this Christmas, help us to know one another better and to live as sisters and brothers and children of the same Heavenly Father. Reveal to us your beauty, holiness, and purity. Awaken in our hearts love and gratitude, Heavenly Father, for your infinite goodness. Draw us to your word. Join us all together in your love. Give us a new song to sing that will resonate throughout this community, our families, and the world. Begin with us. Begin with us today. And give us your heavenly peace. Amen. You can read the last.
So we commend to your keeping, Father, ourselves and each other, our families, our neighbours and our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live in love for you and for one another. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Well, we come to that time in our service where in a small little meal together called the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, we remember God's great love for us and the love we ought to have for one another. Some of you may have picked up a little cup as you came in. Some of you may not have. Stuart is one step ahead of me, and if you've not got one of these and would like to partake, Stuart's going to bring the plate around now and you may take one from there. As Stuart's doing that, just put up your hand if you need one of these so that Stuart knows where to go. Oh, well done. You've got them all. Well done. Oh, we have a couple up the front here, Stuart. Just here. There we go. These don't need a PhD to open up, but pretty close. All right. They are a little bit tricky, The top layer will open up a clear piece of plastic and reveal the wafer. And then underneath that is another layer, a bit thicker, that will reveal the juice to drink from. In the service, I'll tell you the appropriate time to eat and to drink. So just place that down in front of you or hold it in your hands while I continue the service on the screen. Our Lord Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving death for sin. In this symbolic meal, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and deepen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace, the favour, the enabling shown to us in Christ by God. As we share bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus this Christmas. And realizing the profound significance of sharing in this way, let us say together, "We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not worthy even to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord who's always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen." We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. COVID safely, and from the pew, just turn around and say, or someone nearby, "The Lord be with you and also with you." All right. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for all his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honor, glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup, and again, giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Take and eat this bread in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Amen. Take and drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Amen. Amen. God is good.
When Santa learned the gospel, he first heard it from an elf. This tiny Santa's helper had just learned of it herself. A child had asked for Christmas to receive a Bible book. This elf had made one in the shop, then paused to have a look. She read all about Jesus and the call to follow him. She learned how Jesus lived and taught and died to pay for sin. She learned how Jesus rose again and how he will return. And then this elf read how she should respond to all she'd learned. She shut the book, put down her tools, then closed her eyes and prayed. Right then and there, this little elf trusted in Christ that day. The next day, she told Santa. It was awkward, unprepared. She knew she didn't know that much, but what she knew, she shared. She told Santa the gospel. It was simple, it was short, but a seed was sown in Santa's heart, which grew into a thought. Santa reflected on his life and the message he supported, then compared it to the gospel that the elf had just reported. He'd always thought that everyone was naughty or was nice. He had them all on two big lists. He even checked it twice. He'd always thought you only got a gift if you'd been good. The naughty kids got lumps of coal. That's what he understood. They'd all line up in shopping malls and sit upon his knee and claim that they were always nice as nice can be. Of course, he saw them when they slept and knew when they awoke. He also knew their nice attempts were pretty much a joke. Their heads weren't filled with thoughts as nice as kindness, peace, and joy, but with the never-ending list of their desired toys. He knew their hearts, but he had thought, they're trying to be good. That's good enough to make the list, otherwise no one would. So every year, they're good enough, with toys would be rewarded. And every year, he realised, this message he supported. The good will get the presents, the bad will get the coal, and trying to be good enough is good enough for God. That was the message that he knew. But now, he knew another. He had just learned the gospel, so he compared them to each other. The message of the gospel turned his message upside down. The good, the bad, naughty and nicer, it switched it all around. There's no one good but God alone, he'd heard Jesus concluded, and those who claim they're good enough are simply just deluded. If there's a list of who is good, that standard we've all missed. And Santa saw that even he was on the naughty list. That shook his world, that rocked his boat, that gripped him in his soul. To think that even Santa Claus deserved a lump of coal. But that was only half of what the gospel message said. It also flipped what happened to the naughty on its head. Instead of being written off as just not good enough, the message to the naughty list was one of grace and love. The gospel offered mercy to all those deserving coal. The gospel offered forgiveness and cleansing of the soul. The gospel told how Jesus died our death to pay the price, to reconcile us all to God, both naughty and the nice. This offer was a real gift. Unlike presents neath the tree, it was not earned by being good. God offered it for free. Santa compared his message with this new one he had learned. His message said you get the presents your good deeds had earned. The message of the gospel offered something so much greater. Jesus had come to reconcile the world to their Creator. When Santa grasped the gospel, he did not know what to do. And so the elf said nervously, how about I pray with you? So that night at the North Pole, by the fire in his den, with a simple prayer led by an elf, Santa was born again. And now in Christ, forgiven, free, his new life had begun. And Santa had a new message to share with everyone.
Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we on your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of our passion, of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you for joining us this Christmas online, listening in, or here present with us at St. Andrew's here at Abbotsford Anglican. Church meets here 9:30 every Sunday, and though our midweek ministry activities are on recess during holiday time, they'll commence back early February. Church is tomorrow, 9:30, if you wish to join Rosemary and I with us, or again, it'll be online to listen into. For those of us who are regular members, this is the time of the year where I distribute out what's called a sharing and ministry pamphlet. If you've already got that, terrific, please fill it out, pray about it, and place it in the little red box at the back. If you wish to give towards ministry in this place today via an envelope, there's a box at the back. You can do so towards gospel ministry in this place and beyond, though we know most people are doing that online at this time. Well, once again, thank you. From behalf of Rosemary and I, a happy, holy, and a safe Christmas to all of you. Let's sing our final song together, our final carol. It's Joy to the World, the Lord has come. This is a great Advent hymn, great Advent carol. It reminds us not only of the joy of Christ coming into the world the very first time, but again coming a second time to take us to himself, to conclude all things, heaven and earth. Salvation belongs to our God and who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Together, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor, power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Should you choose to want prayer this morning, please come to the front and there'll be folk here to pray with you. Go in peace.